But for now, we are going to jump right on in because I want to finish what we started last Wednesday. And we've been dealing with the series that we started on Think Before You Speak. Always a good idea. And so we've already dealt with Adam. We've dealt with a statement that Cain made. And last week we did the first half of dealing with Moses. We're going to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1 through verse number 13. So if you take your Bibles, let's go to Exodus 4. And we're going to look here and get the second half of dealing with an issue that Moses had that unfortunately several Christians, many Christians, especially in today's age, have a similar problem as Moses, and that is simply this, the inability to trust that God has the ability to use them. The struggle of whether God has the ability to use you. And many Christians struggle with that, and that's why they fail to step out. They fail to really do much in serving the Lord. They exist. They come to church. They're faithful in those areas, but they don't witness much. They don't get involved much. They don't even hardly pass out a track. They're pretty much either afraid or having other struggles that would keep them from believing that God can use their life. Now, we dealt with the first point last week in why people doubt God's ability to use them. That first point dealing with Moses was they struggle with past failures. They see themselves as a failure because of past issues, because of past struggles to succeed in doing something for God. And because of those past failures, or it could even be just past things in their life that even before they got saved. I know some people, before they got saved, they lived a pretty rough life. Then they saw the truth of what Christ did for them. They received Christ as their Savior. The Lord changed their life, but they go through early parts, especially of their life, struggling with whether or not God could do with their life as he does with other Christians in reaching others, influencing others, being a servant who can be used within the church or even just ministries around the community. And they struggle, or even going on a missions trip. Oh, I can't go on a missions trip. You know the kind of things I've done in my life? So you can still go on a trip. You can still help. Matter of fact, the missions trips are not all about going on a missions trip and preach behind a pulpit somewhere. That's not always what it's about. There are times you go, you help people. You're able to build some things. Regardless, you're able to witness to folks, be a part of encouraging someone in another country to keep on serving the Lord. Regardless, there's lots of ways to be used of God in different places, but people struggle with their past and whether or not that past completely eliminates them from usefulness for God. And Moses had that problem as well. Here in chapter 4, looking at verse number 1, when God is speaking to him from the burning bush and letting Moses know, I'm going to use you to deliver my people from Egypt. Here was Moses' response to start with. Now, it's not the think before you speak statement, but it's definitely one to be considered as a struggling issue. Moses, in verse number 1 of chapter 4 in Exodus, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Then comes the foolish statement. After all of that, then comes Moses speaking once more, when he probably should have just kept his mouth shut and thought about it before saying it. Verse number 13, and he said, being Moses, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now, we're not going to read on to verse number 14, but we know that that was not a surrendering of his life. Lord, whatever you want, I'll do it. That's not what he was talking about there, because the very next verse says that the Lord was angry with him. He did not like what Moses said. Why did he not like it? Because Moses basically said, after all of that, Lord, now you and I both know that I'm not usable like you're talking about, so will you just go find the person, and the person whom you're really going to use, why don't you go ahead and just get him, send him, Lord, send that person, don't waste your time with me. That's ultimately what Moses was saying. Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. In other words, the one whom you're really going to use, why don't you go ahead and just send him and let me be, because I know you can't use me. After all that God showed him and all that God did with him, Moses could not believe that God was going to use him to deliver the people from Egypt. So why was his struggle there? The same struggle, the same issue, the same doubt that many even still had today, and we already dealt with, because of past failures. He failed before in trying to deliver the people his way. He killed an Egyptian, and then all of a sudden, he thought they would be all for him. Oh, look what he did for us. No, they turned on him and said, hey, you're going to kill us like you killed that guy? And all of a sudden, he realized he didn't have the heart of the people. He didn't have the ear of the people. He didn't have the trust of the people. And Moses flees for his life because he knows that Pharaoh is going to come after him for having killed an Egyptian. And Moses, because of that failure, has now grown accustomed to just dealing with sheep on the backside of the desert, and has basically accepted in his mind the fact that God will not ever use him in any way of that nature. So even when God himself is speaking directly to Moses, Moses constantly cannot believe that God can use him. That past failure, though it was in the flesh, to Moses was an equivalent of, I tried to serve God and it failed. I tried to do something good for God and I failed. And so therefore, God can't use me. But Moses was not recognizing that he was doing it in the flesh, and he was not doing according to God's will. And therefore, naturally, it failed because it wasn't the way God planned to do it. So Moses struggled with that past failure issue, and the first reason there why he failed to believe that God could use him. Now, I'm going to pray real fast, and then I'm going to give you the last two several verses. So hold on. I've got them in here so I can read them directly. We can get through it quickly. But you'll probably want to jot several of these down if you're taking notes. But we'll look at the last two things that not only Moses, but also people even still today struggle with in this area, believing that God can use their life to serve him with. And so let's pray real quick, and we'll look at these. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for allowing us to open your word and look a little bit more into this area of the statement that Moses made and the struggle that he had, and how real, and Lord, it kind of hits home for many in the reality of a struggle believing that God can use us, that you can do something with, Lord, sometimes in our life we consider to be a uselessness. And I pray that you would help us to see the danger in that mentality, but also the inaccuracy of that mentality concerning what Moses had to learn and what we also need to be aware of in what you can do with a life that is surrendered to you. And I pray that you would use this time, Lord, show us these last two pieces of this thought, that it might be something we can think about as well and chew on, Lord, and allow us to grow and understand your desire to use our lives. Again, we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. So we dealt with that first struggle, is the dealing with the past. But then secondly, why did Moses struggle? Well, not only did he have a problem dealing with his past, and his past gave him doubt, but he also had the fear of rejection from others. Verse number one not only reveals his struggle with his past, but it reveals this same issue right here, the fear of rejection from others. He said, "Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Moses was convinced that if he went back to the children of Israel, they're going to know who he is. He's going to show up and say, God has come to me. God has been with me. I've seen him. I've talked with him. And he has sent me to deliver his people. Moses is afraid that he is going to get the same thing he got before, which was a mockery, a disdain, sarcasm, and rejection ultimately from God's people. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to be convinced that you have talked with me. They're not going to believe that I'm the one you sent. I'm going to be rejected, and therefore I really don't want to go because I really don't want to be rejected again. Too often Christians fail to serve God because they fear this same kind of rejection. People can be cruel. Anybody noticed? Go to high school. By the way, most kids learn to be cruel, not in every case, but in a lot of cases, most kids learn to be cruel, and they learn it from an older generation. What we teach, or sometimes what we fail to teach, has consequences. People can be cruel, and a Christless society will at times attack the messenger because of the message. Paul faced this attack in just about every city he entered. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 27. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned." By the way, we're pretty sure he died on that one and came back. That's a whole other story. I can present that later. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck." By the way, one of those especially was definitely when he was actually being held prisoner and being taken to a place where he said, "Listen, we're not supposed to set sail." They did it anyways. But he goes on, "Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Paul went through a whole slew of issues, and much of it was at the hands of the people he was trying to reach. They rejected his message. They rejected him. At one point, you'd have a place that would accept him and want to hail him as a god and want to talk about how great he is. And then all of a sudden, they turn around and they want to stone him. He was constantly faced with many obstacles and many hateful people. Peter faced the same thing. Most of the apostles, as a matter of fact, all the apostles at one point in their life and in their ministry faced great rejection. In 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 11, it says, as Paul is speaking here, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, which what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, where did the persecution come from? It came as a result of great rejection. Not only did they reject the message, but they wanted to go ahead and silence the messenger. Paul faced it constantly. Rejection is to be expected. As we seek to serve God, or at least make ourselves available to serve God, just understand rejection, unfortunately, is going to be a part of life. Everyone will eventually face people who openly resist their attempts to serve God. Unfortunately, this even applies at times to being resisted by God's own people. Even Christ himself dealt with rejection within his own time of ministry, and it came from his own people. In Matthew 13, 55 to 57, says this, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, and this is actually a very, very, very true statement, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Say, what does that mean? Simple. It's harder to receive honor trying to serve God, and people believe that you are going to serve God when they watched you grow up and they watched all your mistakes, they watched all the things you've done, they watched all the issues about your life, and then they find, oh, that one's going to serve God? Yeah, right. Let me tell you some stories I know about that one. It is harder to win the respect and trust and belief of people, even God's people, in the place where you were raised, where everybody knows every one of your faults. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Sometimes it may even be at home that it's hard for people to admit or accept that God is going to use somebody. And by the way, more than one individual has thrown the white flag in and said, well, fine, I guess I can't be used, because they were convinced by family that their life was not something God could use. If Christ faced it, better believe we will. Moses was afraid of facing that rejection. Jeremiah got it. Jeremiah was called of God to be an outspoken prophet against Israel's rejection of God. The Lord pre-warned him not to be afraid, and I love this, preachers love to joke about this, not to be afraid of their faces. But why would he say that? Because he was being notified of a sure negative reaction that he would receive because of the hard message that he was given to deliver. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 9 speaks of that. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Kind of sounds like Moses. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to take care of it. Don't let the rejection cause you to say, you know what? I guess they're right. I can't be used of God. Nobody even listened to me. And get ready. When you say truth, when you speak truth, when you, no matter how loving it is, you're going to have a good majority of people who will openly reject and try to silence any truth that doesn't fit the narrative of their life. Right. Jeremiah was told, don't stop, don't spare, cry aloud, speak up. Preach what I tell you to preach, and I'll be with you. Don't worry. Don't be afraid of their faces. They're going to make a lot of ugly looks at you. They're going to look like they're going to kill you. But don't go running, because I'm going to take care of it. One more to list in this. Samuel, during a low point of his ministry, was reminded by God that the rejection he received was not actually a rejection of Samuel, but a rejection of God. There in I'm not going to read it, but in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you read verse 4 through 7. It's where the children of Israel said, give us a king. And Samuel was brokenhearted because he was the prophet of God, and God was to be the king over the people. He was the man of God to help lead the children of Israel to follow the Lord. And they look at Samuel and say, we want an earthly king like all the other kingdoms. Give us a king. And Samuel took it personally. To him, it was a rejection. It was a rejection of him as the prophet of God. And the Lord said, no, hearken unto their voice, but understand, don't take it personally. They're not rejecting you. They've rejected me as their God and their king. Moses, unfortunately, struggled with the thought of rejection and almost allowed it. Now, here's the key. He almost allowed the fear of rejection to keep him from seeing what God could do in people's hearts. Because the people, by the way, Moses did not have to use the rod on the people. Did not have to turn to a serpent. He did that with Pharaoh. Moses did not have to put his hand and pull it out and there's leprosy. Didn't have to do that with the people. Moses didn't pour out water and turn to blood with the people, but it happened later on, as we mentioned already, when it came to Pharaoh. And it wasn't just the water that poured out. Every bit of water throughout the entire countryside turned, their water source turned to blood. But Moses didn't do any of that kind of stuff with the people. Why? Because Moses spoke to Aaron. Aaron spoke up. They spoke about what God was going to do and how God had sent Moses to deliver. And the people shouted and praised God that deliverance had come. All those fears that Moses had, he almost missed the opportunity to see God work in people's hearts like he had never seen before, because he almost let fear of the possibility of rejection keep him from ever going. Last thing, and I'm done. Not only do people not believe, but they believe that God cannot use their life because of their past issues, but also the fear of rejection of others. And then lastly, they lack confidence in God's ability. Now, this is the one that hits home and hurts the most. And you look at verse number 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. After all the efforts that Moses had given, he finally resorts to informing God of the personal inabilities that he struggles with. Now, pick up on that statement. He resorts to informing God about his personal struggles. By this point, he is so wrapped up in making excuses that he forgets to whom he's talking to. Moses completely overlooks three major facts that every child of God has to keep in mind. Number one, God made him. Number two, God knows his abilities and struggles. And number three, God can do anything, even if it is seemingly impossible. You overlook those three major facts about God, and we will look and say, Lord, you can't use this. I don't have anything to offer. Perfect. Because in our own strength and our own abilities, we might actually think we accomplished something. But when we have nothing to offer and it all relies on what God can do, there's nothing we can boast and brag about. It has to be only what he can do in spite of what he had to work with. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 through 11 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." God is able to provide all sufficiency in all things. Moses didn't question his ability. Now think about this. He didn't question his ability to speak back in Egypt when he was going to do it his way. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was taught with the best tutors. If he had a speech problem, he probably had somebody to work with him personally every single day. Moses didn't say anything about not being able to speak up and stand for the people back then. That wasn't a problem. So the real problem that Moses was struggling with wasn't his lack of ability to speak well, but it was his loss of confidence because of his past failure stepping out and doing things when it wasn't God's timing. But here's the biggest problem. That confidence was shaken because he relied on himself the first time, and he was still measuring his abilities based on the confidence he had in himself. So the confidence that he was thinking, "I can't go do this. I can't handle this. I can't even speak anymore." His confidence was shaken in himself because he was still ultimately relying on himself. "God's going to send me, and I'm going to go out there and do this, and I didn't do it last time. How can I do it this time?" His confidence was shaken, but the problem was his confidence was not where it should have been. It was in himself and not in God. John 15:5, the Lord tells us, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." That's pretty plain. Without the Lord, our confidence should be shaken because we have nothing within us that's any good. Most Christians, and we're almost done, most Christians struggle with serving the Lord because they gauge their ability to serve on their view of what they see themselves capable of doing. If I can envision it, great. If I can't see myself doing that, forget it. Ain't no way it can happen. They gauge and view everything based on how they see themselves capable. When in fact, we should be gauging our ability to serve on what God is capable of doing in and through us. It's not about what I'm confident I can do. It's about what I know God can do in spite of what I think of myself. That was Moses' struggle. One more verse for you. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. "And such trust have we through Christ in to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth." Ultimately, looking at that, our sufficiency is of God who made us able ministers. It is only through what God can do in us and what God can do through us that we can accomplish anything for him. Say, "Preacher, I don't have that ability." Doesn't mean that God can't give you that ability. If we think that God cannot use us because I don't have the talent somebody else has, we're not actually looking and saying, "I don't have the ability." We're looking and saying, "God doesn't have the ability to give it to me. I don't believe God can use me that way. I don't believe God can give me that ability. I don't think God can help me in that area. Ultimately, we might be lacking confidence in ourselves, but it really comes down to the fact that we lack confidence in Him. And that's why people don't step forward. That's why people don't try to give, they won't even give a track. I can't do that. Yet let it be a birthday party invitation. They can do that pretty easy. We struggle with things not because we're just incapable of doing it, but because we don't believe He's capable of making us capable. So Moses struggles and fights against God and makes God angry by saying, just choose that person who you're really going to use because I know you can't use me. Moses struggled because of his past failures. Moses struggled because he was afraid of rejection from others. And Moses struggled because he truly had a lack of confidence in what God could do in the ability God had to give him what was needed for the job. And it's not that much different from what people struggle with today. Service as a child of God is never about our ability to do the work, but God's ability to do the work through us. And somebody said this, and it's a good way to end tonight. Our greatest ability is our availability. That's all it comes down to. So I don't know that I could ever do that. Well, no, you probably can't unless God gives you the ability. All you got to do is make yourself available. Well, preacher, I can't get up in front of people. I couldn't either. I was the guy who didn't talk in front of nobody. You're like, yeah, right. I was the one that didn't hardly speak two words to anyone, anywhere. Forget teaching a Bible lesson. Preaching. It's funny. Right. I work the sound booth. Nobody sees me. Nobody hears me. No, I just hide behind the wall. And yet, look where I am now. If you would have told me this is what I would have been doing back when I was a young teenager, I would have laughed at you and walked away. But what is it? Not that I'm anything. There are much better preachers. But thank you, Ms. Dawn. Appreciate that. Vote of confidence there. But here's the thing. There are great orators that, honestly, I'm not like them. I know guys that can rattle stuff off in a heartbeat, and boy, it'd pump you like, whoa, that's great. Not me. I know guys that actually quote scripture and not get the reference wrong. Not me. But here's the thing. What we think God can't do with us is not, we might think it's because we think we're not capable. Ultimately, it comes down to we doubt that He's capable. Make yourself available. You never know what God can do with a blank slate. Lord, You give it to me. I'll use it for You. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the truth of Your word.